Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name is Patricia King. I'm glad you've joined us for today's program. I have a special guest with me and a special friend, Scott McLeod. And Scott, you are the author of a book called Snakes in the Lobby. And I know that our viewers are going to be wanting to know what about snakes and what about lobby? What lobby? What snakes? And we'll be talking about that book in a while. But I want you to share, first of all, about your background, because you've been involved in the music industry, Christian music industry, professionally, and are very much called as a prophet, as a prophetic voice in this hour for the media army that's rising up in this hour. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, first of all, Patricia, it's amazing to be here with you and to be in this incredible, beautiful studio. This facility is just spectacular, and what a joy to be here with you today.
Aww.
And I'm originally from Canada. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
And in Ontario, Canada's where I grew up, and great Christian family, and just, you know. But I found this thing called music at the age of around 12, and I started playing drums, and I just knew destiny. I just knew somehow I was going to use this medium, this vehicle to communicate with, called music, for God's glory. I just, even at a young age, and getting out of college and working in Canada, I knew somehow I had to go to either California, New York, or Nashville, one of the music centers in the States. And so we prayed about it, and God just sovereignly led me to Nashville about 26 years ago. And so after about a year of waiting tables, which most musicians do in Nashville when they first get there,
about 26 years ago, that was in the real peak. That was when the whole Christian music industry was really being birthed. So you were there right at the beginning of that.
Yeah, it had been going. It started in the 70s, but it was really at a place. It was peaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was these big companies that pretty much ran the show. And little did I know what I was really getting myself into. You know, I was coming down there to serve God with the music and you know, not long after, God began to open doors with about a year, and then all of a sudden I found myself playing live as a drummer in a band. I was with Warner Brothers, and we started traveling literally all around the world and starting to make CDs, and then I got into production and writing and just the whole thing, kind of like just the whole gamut.
Publishing. And you worked with some pretty well-known musicians and artists, didn't you?
Yeah, there's... we had the privilege of working with most of the big companies and a lot of the, would they say, big names, I guess. And you know, it's always a joy to do something you love to do. You know, we felt real privileged, but it also was, there was a lot of issues starting to unfold. There was things, cracks in the foundation and people stepping on one another to get to the top all in the name of Jesus. And we started to go, wait a second, what is going on here, you know?
That is even common today, isn't it? Like, if your heart is not fully consecrated, and I know that that's one of your life messages, is the purity of heart, purity of morals, purity of values. And it's especially important in media because in that realm, as we'll hear later, there's some snakes there. There's some demonic spirits that would love to try to find a place in us. And it reminds me of Jesus' word where he says, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me, because Jesus was completely consecrated, so he could be in the world, but he was not of the world. He was completely separated unto the Father's heart. So he loved what his Father loved, and he hated what his Father hated. Yeah. But if we don't have those foundations, we can be in danger. And I think that's what happened in the Christian music industry, is it became a corporation mindset. The love of money got in, the love of fame, the love of power, and it perverted it. And you saw that firsthand.
Yeah, definitely firsthand. And we saw, you know, that, you know, I believe success is the true test. It's like there's no greater test, I think, for mankind, is to really go through success when the fame and everything starts, you know, whirling around an individual who's gifted. And you know, the reality is not many people really pass that test. And even to this day, it's the big one. And, you know, back then I was scratching my head going, God, crying out to the Lord, what is going on with this mixture that was going on all in the name of Jesus? And the Lord spoke to me really clearly. He said, right now it's about sales, but in the future it will be about souls. And it was a word of encouragement, because I came there for souls. I came there for the kingdom of heaven. And even though God had to clean me up along with the rest, you know, we were all just trying to find where's truth and where's God in this. But he showed us, he really clearly told us that there was a shift. There was a mega shift coming. Even though right at that point, it seemed like the bottom line was finance, it was money, it was power. And I'd literally talked to guys who built the industry, who built the big labels. One guy came, right, after reading the book, came to me, who birthed three of the big labels. And he said, man, I'm guilty. I was one of the snake keepers in the book.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, this is heavy. I couldn't believe this guy was even confessing this, you know? Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I spent 2 years repenting and asking God to forgive me all the lives I've detoured and even, you know, just hurt people I hurt, right, along the way. And he said, you know how we would build the industry, Christian music industry? He said, we'd sit around our conference table. He goes, sadly, but this is what I do. We'd put Billboard magazine on the center of the table. It wasn't the Bible. It wasn't, you know, his ways are not our way. But we literally patterned it after the world and,
wow,
then tried to superimpose Jesus on top of that. And then, you know, the big experiment was, now looking back, it didn't work. It was a train wreck waiting to happen,
wow,
you know.
Well, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And, you know, oftentimes when you don't have money, that isn't an issue because you're completely dependent on the Lord. But when you start seeing the money and the attention and the fame roll in, things change. And that's when the snakes can come in. I remember, Scott, having a vision myself back in the 1990s. And the vision was of a believer that was being enticed by what the name of the vision is called the glittering snake. Mm-hmm. And the snake was actually a real snake, but it was covered in diamonds and gemstones, yeah, and glitter. And the believer looked at the glitter and didn't recognize the snake.
Yeah.
It was actually a snake clothed in glitter, but all they saw was the glitter. And they started moving towards the glitter because they were fascinated by it. They were drawn by the glitter. Mm-hmm. And as they drew close to it, that snake started to wrap itself around them, and they didn't even know it, yeah, because they were looking at the glitter that was being wrapped around them. And before long, that thing was just all over them. They were walking around with a snake as their cloak. A snake, wow, was controlling them, but they didn't even know it. And the Lord gave me a prophetic warning through that. It's called the glittering snake. But more and more I see that, and even today, and you and I know different music artists and, you know, actors and that are struggling. They're strong Christians, had a strong faith, love for God, radical expression of their faith. But then when the fame starts coming, when the money starts coming in, that's when the snakes appear. And if you're not aware of it, you can be entangled. And it's the same with business or anything else, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think as long as we're still enamored by the things of this world, mm-hmm, we're susceptible to being enticed and entrapped, you know. And it even says, you know, that the fear of man will prove to be a snare.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when we fall into the same traps that even the religious spirit and the Pharisees, you know, that everything they did was for men to see,
yeah,
and they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. And this is very similar to musicians and creative types, that we fall into these same, you know, pitfalls. And so we have to be inoculated to these things.
Right.
And it doesn't just happen overnight. I really believe, you know, we have to follow the ways of the Lord, of servanthood and humility and brokenness.
Right.
And if we're not willing to embrace that part and embrace the cross, then we're just a kind of a disaster waiting to happen. Like, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, you know? And I think as a foundation, you need, first of all, a primary mission statement for your life. I was, before my 60th birthday, I was reestablishing who I was and why I'm here, you know, so I could finish strong. And
that's awesome.
You know, when you look at the last third of your life or whatever, you want to just escalate. You don't want to diminish. And so I got to thinking, okay, what is my primary reason for being here? Mm-hmm. And I define myself, number one, before anything else, I am a lover of Jesus. I live to bring pleasure to his heart. So that was my first mission statement. Yeah. Now, mm-hmm, with that, I think everything else is safe. If I remain on that statement, if that is the foundation statement of my life, everything else is safe, mm-hmm, because money can't grab my affection, because my purpose for living is to bring pleasure to him. Mm-hmm. I am a lover of Jesus. That's primarily who I am. I'm not a lover of money. Mm-hmm. Money can work to serve his purposes, but I'm, mm-hmm, not a lover, yeah, of it. I'm a lover of Jesus. So if we can establish that first with a real quality decision to stand on a foundation, mm-hmm, that will help us. And that's why the first commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, because even when Israel was being taken into the promised land, God gave them a warning. He said, beware lest you begin to worship the world, basically, is what he was saying.
Yeah.
And John said it like this. He said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you.
Totally, yeah. And if we have friendship with the world, we can become enemies to God.
Right.
So these were some of the exact scriptures that the Lord embedded in me as I moved to Nashville. And it really were the safeguards of my life from not getting totally enthralled by things that were not of the Lord. And it was these same scriptures, do not love the world or anything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these things really, and it's so important to know the Word, to know God, to know His ways and His values. And for young creative people that are being, especially if you're being thrown into the arena of the world, you know, to be in it but not of it. And see, when I was in the industry, the big thing was about crossing over. This was before the global, I call it global worship revolution. And worship was not cool when I showed up in Nashville. So the main thing was that we got to be like the world, you know.
Right.
But of course we were...
To reach the world.
Yeah, unfortunately we were usually a cheap imitation 3 years late.
Wow.
We were the tail and not the head.
Right.
But, you know, the thing was, you know, we'll cross over. It was these crossover artists. And the problem, the sad part is we forgot to take the crossover.
Wow.
We didn't have the message. We didn't have the
powerful
character. So most people got swallowed up and broken families. And just you look back at the guys who were the cats that were in the studio doing all the music and the main artists. And most of them really went through some serious, you know, devastation. And God's still redeeming and restoring. But it was a tough time. It looked glistening, you know, the glamour. And it was all there. And it was enticing. But boy, you look back and you go, man, that was...
Yeah.
We don't want to do that again.
Glittering snake wrapped around them. Well, you've actually been called as a prophetic voice to media. I really believe that. And lately, we've been working together on calling forth a media army, and I so appreciate your camaraderie. And you have actually started a school raising up sons and daughters of thunder who are righteous radicals who cannot be bought or sold.
Yeah. Yeah, this is true.
So tell us a bit about that school.
Well, you remember there was a prophecy around 1990, an extraordinary prophecy, the Sons of Thunder. James Ryle released it from Boulder, Colorado, where he was a pastor of that church at the time. That's where the Promise Keeper movement came out of that church. And he released this extraordinary series of three dreams about a day when God would redeem the music and the arts in such a dramatic way that there would be a movement, a global revolution, stronger than the Beatles. And you know what happened in the 60s with the Beatles? It was off the scale. It shifted culture.
Right. It shifted.
People threw off Christian values and once they got into drugs. And, you know, he said, but this time there's such a movement coming. They're not going to be, you know, the hysteria that you saw and the screaming for Paul and Ringo and George and John. But this time it's going to be Jesus.
Come on.
I remember one time just before 7707, Lou Engle came to me and he said, Scott, it's the Sons of Thunder, you know, Lou. And he said, has there ever been a happier prophecy? And I stopped and I thought about it, and I thought, no, that's global harvest, you know, and redeeming the very thing that has polluted the nations and brainwashed entire community. I mean, just how enemy has used media against us and music to turn it all around and use Goliath's sword
come
to cut
on,
off his
come
own
on.
Head. You know, I was like, whoa, you know, it's like, so we, out of that, we birthed a Thunder School. And we've been living in the inner city, working with the poor and using the creativity as evangelism, the creative evangelism. We've been using all this and doing this for many years. But the Lord said, now is the time to raise up these sons and daughters of thunder. And they are awesome. I'm telling you, we're getting glimpses of where God's leading this generation. And you know, I'm just astounded. Like so many of them, they're showing up now and they play like four or five instruments.
Right.
Like multifaceted, kind of like those ambidextrous, you know, those Benjamites that could do a slingshot and a sword. And it's just like they're these creative warriors. And yet they're not enamored by, they're not even looking for a record deal. They're like, what's that? It's all evaporated now anyway. So
in the Thunder School, are they all musicians?
Well, it's great question. It's a lot of musicians. But it really is all the arts. Like there's graphic designers, there's dancers, there's drama, there's screenwriters, you know, and screenplay writers and prophetic writing. And so it's really all the arts.
Well, I've met some of the students from your school and they're just treasures and they're anointed and they're righteous radicals.
Yeah.
And it's so, I'm so behind what you're doing.
Oh,
and
thanks.
Especially like for a creative person going to Nashville, it's an open portal. So, you know, the creative juices flow and you have definitely made a way there. We're going to take a break, Scott, and when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about your book, Snakes in the Lobby. And also, I know that you've got some further prophetic words for the church today and for the media army today.
Okay.
So we'll be right back.
Your words have the creative power to shape your reality. Create Your World teaches you how to inhabit the goodness of God in any situation. Call 866-980-5464 or visit us at xpministries.com.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.
You are called to demonstrate the kingdom of God with signs and wonders. Patricia King's book, Light Belongs in the Darkness, will help you step outside your comfort zone to reach those around you with the power and love of God. Order Light Belongs in the Darkness at xpministries.com.
Well, welcome back. In this section of the program, we're going to be talking about snakes and lobbies. So, yeah. Snakes in the lobby. Yeah. And so, share a little bit about the prophetic vision you had, and then take it further, because you've got some fresh revelation about a renaissance that's coming, and I want to hear that, and I know our viewers will.
Yeah. Well, the initial vision, which I would describe it initially more as a trance, an open trance in the middle of the day, I went into this big music, international music convention that happens once a year back then, and you know, it was all the who's who were there, and it's just, you know, people come in from everywhere, and they're all kind of wearing the music attire, and it's all going on, and there had been a lot of issues. You know, I felt like, you know, you could just feel it. I'd been there a couple of years before, and kind of like the mixture was just, so many people say they were sick to their stomach. Here's a Christian music thing, and they're like, something's just twisted, right? And you're just feeling it. Well, this time I come in there, and I'm just astounded. I just stop in my tracks, and I'm looking around, and I start seeing snakes. Like, I literally see a massive snake.
With an open vision.
An open vision, like in the spirit realm. It was almost like a black curtain, and it felt like God just said, okay, you've known there's funky things behind there. Let me show you. And he just opened it. It was vivid. It was color, multidimensional. And I began to see, and I just stood there in this trance looking. And the amazing thing was, I was probably in the lobby maybe half an hour, and I talked to a few people, kind of still freaked out, but trying to control myself. But I was seeing what was going on. And I was...
It's like you were seeing in two dimensions.
Yeah. And, wow. And then what happened is it just stuck with me. After I left, I told some friends, we all prayed. I said, you're not going to believe what I was seeing in there. And I could see what was manipulating the whole situation. And so I began to tell people, we prayed. And then it still stuck with me the next day. And I was still sick to my stomach. I was like ready to blow up physically. I was like, God, what do I do with this? And he spoke to me, said, write it down. I want you to write what you're seeing. I'm like, but I'm a songwriter. I don't know what write down what? What is this? And he just said, just write it down. And so I was able to write it down, and, you know, to a lot of people, they were like, whoa, this is controversial, this is intense, and it really doesn't expose people at all. It's a journey into the spirit realm, the powers and principalities that were manipulating the whole thing. And so it's been used all around the world. It's like in 10 languages. And
I remember when I first read it, I was really impacted, and Shirley Ross, our television producer, when she read it, she said, everyone in media industry needs to have this. It's so powerful, because it really opens your eye of discernment, and it's written really well.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. My mom helped me edit it. But I believe the Heavenly Father gave the download.
Right.
And, you know, what happened with the Renaissance was right after we released this, and some people were like, you know, don't release it. It's going to shake up the industry, and, you know, what's going to happen? There was just all this controversy.
Was there a lot of kickback from it?
There was, but, you know, a lot of the people that might have been negative, they never talked to me much. I mean, there was like one or two people.
You heard the rumblings.
I heard rumblings, but actually tons of artists, like even big-name artists would call, email, they would call, they'd say, thank you for writing this. Thank you for, you know, this is what
that's
we've needed.
Awesome.
This is what we've lived. We've all been under this oppression.
That's awesome, Scott, because that's the role of a prophet.
Yeah.
The role of a prophet is to bring that kind of exposure so that the people can be safe.
Yeah.
You know, and the Lord knows we need prophets of righteousness in this hour.
Yeah.
You know, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And we have to have prophets of righteousness. In the Old Testament, the prophets were really powerfully used to call people back to God.
Yeah.
But today we don't see a lot of that. And we need the warnings. We need the insight. Yeah. We need the convicting words, not condemnation, but convicting so that we can, you know, come into the fullness of what God has for us. But tell us about the Renaissance.
Yeah. What happened there was the month that this book actually came out, and it just was a funny little R printed version to start with, but it just went like fire. And, but the same month, my friend calls me and he says, and the name of the hotel at the time where they always traditionally did this music festival or this conference, it was called the Stouffer Hotel, the Stouffer Hotels. And all of a sudden, right across the whole skyline of Nashville, they changed the name and it was the Renaissance.
Wow.
And my friend calls me and said, dude, you know, it's the Renaissance. And I'm like, what? He goes, we're the lobby, the snakes. And all I didn't even, back then, I didn't even really was that familiar with the word Renaissance.
Wow.
I knew it was something in history, right? So he looks it up, and it's a rebirth and the revival of the arts and literature and all stuff. And I remember I was driving, I was just like stunned. It was so powerful. God spoke to my spirit at that moment, and he said, right now you might be in a pit of snakes, but I'm telling you, I'm prophesying that there will be a renaissance, a new renaissance
Amen.
Is coming.
Amen. And you know what? I believe that we're right in that place right now.
Totally.
We're going to be right back, but this is a very critical hour for you, for the whole body of Christ, for the world. The music industry, the media industry impacts the world like no one else. Lady Gaga's Twitter is the top Twitter account of anyone else in the world, and there's other musicians that follow. This is really important that we believers in Christ Jesus and in righteousness take that mandate and take it forward. And so you are being called. You can make a difference. And we'll be right back to wrap this up. We've got some destiny words for you, and there might be a word just for you.
Your words have the creative power to shape your reality. Create Your World teaches you how to inhabit the goodness of God in any situation. Call 866-980-5464 or visit us at xpministries.com.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
You are called to demonstrate the kingdom of God with signs and wonders. Patricia King's book, Light Belongs in the Darkness, will help you step outside your comfort zone to reach those around you with the power and love of God. Order Light Belongs in the Darkness at xpministries.com.
I'm getting a word for someone that has been in the entertainment industry in the past. Specifically, I saw you singing and playing in bars and that. And I tell you, the snakes got you and they bit you real hard. And you are watching this program saying, oh my gosh, I could write that book. And there's been this bitter pool within your heart. It's like, it's like something happened to your life at that time that just kind of set you in another direction. But there's a destiny to be fulfilled in you still. There is a potential in you that needs to be fulfilled. And the Lord says he's calling you back, not to those snakes, but to him. And there's going to be healing. There's going to be restoration. There's going to be a new wind of the Spirit that's going to hit your life. So draw close to the Lord. Rise up, because your latter years are going to be greater than the former. The glory of God's going to hit you big time. Wait and see.
Yeah, I just had an image of a little girl, and she was dancing, And it was very beautiful. And I knew it was very beautiful, very precious, and even powerful from heaven's perspective. And and I saw that this girl had big dreams with dance. And but then I saw that some of those dreams kind of got dashed, and there was some hurt, there was some disillusionment, and you stopped dancing. And now you're like, well, what was all that about? All those hours of practice, all those dreams, and I feel like the Father's coming and He's picking up. I saw the pieces of your dream were all like broken. It was shattered across the floor, dance floor. And then I saw the Father just came and he said, give it one more shot. And He breathed on all those broken pieces. And they all started to come up, and they were little children. And they all started to dance. And I feel like the Lord's saying, no, you know, He was with you every step of the way, every hour of practice. But now He's saying, I'm calling you to raise up a school of dance. And in the same way you brought pleasure to the Father, even as a child, it's going to multiply. There's a school of discipling kids through the arts and through dance. And I see all these little children are going to start to come forth.
There's someone watching who has a deep desire to go into media, in particular acting and making of movies and films. And it's so big inside your heart. But you're passionate for Jesus and you don't want to compromise. And I just want to tell you, you don't have to. I know that in our acting school, XP Acting, it's one of the things that we stress is this alignment to the Word of God, to the ways of God. There are places where you can get trained that aren't going to trap you inside of the world's mindsets. You can take a stand and you can be a standard.
Okay, I got these two words, ignite and rewrite. And I said, Lord, what's that all about? And I saw someone who was a writer, and I had a sense it was kind of like a screenplay. It's a story, but it's going to be perpetuated through media. And it's almost like you're just weary of it. You're weary of carrying the burden and fighting the warfare of birthing this, and you're just about ready to give it up. It's almost like you've rewritten it, you know, dozens of times, five or six times, and you've just tried it from different angles. And I saw that the Lord said, no, just give it one more time, one more rewrite, but first ignite. And I saw you going on a retreat. I just saw you getting away with God and getting that inspiration. I don't know if it was a mountain or a beach, but there was some secluded place where you got with the Lord and He gave you the DNA and you were ignited. You were an inferno of passion and creativity, and you rewrote it one more time, and this baby's going to fly.
We'll see you next time, but remember this. God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does.